Good afternoon. My name's Ed Mutum, and I'm an alcoholic. By the grace of God, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and sponsorship, I have found it necessary to take a drink or a mood-altering chemical since January 5th of 1971, and for that I'm extremely grateful. You know, I'm one of those that's blessed. I get to speak a lot of places and go a lot of places, but I don't know that I've ever been more moved than to be asked to speak here. And Joe, I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank Bob. And I want to thank the committee. Those of us who have been involved in big conventions, you have no idea of the work and dedication and frustration that goes on to put this on just so things could be convenient for you. But I also know by seeing this committee and what I've experienced it here that it was out of love that they did it. Not only that, the members of Alcoholics Anonymous here, the city of Akron. I mean, I had a bus driver that said, oh, heck, we can take you there, and went off route and brought me where I needed to go. You know, I've decided I'm moving here next week. But everybody's just been delightful, and I am honored to be here, and I do love Alcoholics Anonymous. I do love God, and I love being sober, and I don't apologize for it. For a long time in AA, I felt like maybe I had to say something other than God, and maybe I shouldn't be too happy sober, or they'll come to expect it, you know? And the longer I'm sober, the more I realize that that's the gift that God has given me. And that's the gift that I want to cherish. I want to thank the signers. I'm always moved when I see the signers. And a lot of times when I see a speaker, I'll watch the signers too, because in that interpretation, it's even more moving. Their dedication to do this and their work. And I won't say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I gotta look like, take that, big fella. You gotta bring it on, bring it on. Well, did you? Oh, I want to thank my friend Bobby M. and his family from Cleveland. I've known Bobby for years, but we just met a month or two ago. And if you've been around AA, you know exactly what that means. It's talking about language of the heart. For those of you who don't know me, yes, I have trouble buying clothes, and the weather's fine up here, okay? Get all those out of the way. And they threw in a new one here at Akron. I've never been asked how much I weighed so much in my life. So I'm going to have to incorporate that somehow. But it's always the same size person, usually saying the same two questions. And they're, you know, first question is, how tall are you? I'm 6'10". And they go, oh, how tall are you? 6'10". Oh, do you play basketball? I go, no. How tall are you? And they go, 5'6". And I say, do you play miniature golf? Seems fair to me. And there's just a lot of people in this room and at this convention this weekend that I love with all my heart. And I would do anything on earth for them. Because that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has done to me. Alcoholics Anonymous is language of the heart. If it gets to be language of anything else, it's not Alcoholics Anonymous. I came from a very elite group of people called white trash. And, you know, certain things were expected of us. And, you know, when you got a position in the community, you got to deliver. And, and you know, my earliest emotion was I didn't like anything. I didn't like you, but most of all, I didn't like me. And there was an unease about me from my earliest memories. And my earliest thoughts were, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I developed something from early on that took me a lot of years sober to quit doing. And I'll tell you what it is. I could walk into a room with 300 people, 299 could turn around to me and say, Ed, you're the best. We love you, man. One could turn around and go, jerk. Guess who got my full attention? Now, here's the sick part. Not only did they get my full attention, but eventually in my life, the 299 didn't exist anymore. Just the ones. And I had a head full of ones at my earliest memories. I didn't like who I was, where I lived, what I did. And I hated it. So I was very grateful when alcohol came around at a very early age. My father was a heavy drinker. He's one of the hardest working men I've ever known. My mother always tells the time of when they were shoveling coal during the Depression and they were paying 25 cents a ton. And my dad come home after earning $18 in one day. I know what work ethic is. I know what dedication is. I know what commitment is. I also know what being raised in the house of an alcoholic is. And sometimes Dad would drink too much, and my mother was one of the first working women I've ever known. Everybody else, her mom's got to stay home, and Mom had to go to work to keep the house going. And she was an incredible woman. But she had a weakness. She believed in God, you know. Well, it really was weak, you know. Let's pray about it. No, let's punch somebody. You know, she just didn't get it, you know. And I remember she used to drag us seven children to church. And they'd set me in church, and if you ever met a minister, they all have thin blue lips and talk like this. You're going to burn in hell, young man. That's what you're going to do. And I used to think, I've only been here an hour. How do you know? And they'd drag us to